This is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. In the weeks since Russia invaded Ukraine, Western allies have piled on as punishment four rounds of sanctions designed to cripple the Russian economy. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says, though, the measures don't go far enough, and Lithuania's President Gitanas Nausėda agrees. He said his Baltic nation, which is sandwiched between Belarus and the Russian province of Kaliningrad, is prepared to cut off Russian oil and gas imports. In 2019, Lithuania received more than half of its oil imports from Moscow, and while the president said halting imports from the country would create some problems, they're ones Lithuania could overcome economically.
Lithuania, as a country, we established some measures which were very important for our independence and lower exposure to Russia. We established LNG terminal 10 years ago. We did a lot in order to implement infrastructure projects in order to be more secure and less dependent on Russia. Unfortunately, it was not the case in many other countries of Western Europe.
Still, Lithuania gets about 60% of its oil from Russia.
Right now, we don't have any Russian oils because the largest oil refinery in Lithuania decided not to buy the Russian oil, crude oil anymore. And they are buying it from other countries. Natural gas. Yes, we buy a certain part of our demand from Russia. But we are able to replace it by liquid gas in the terminal in Klaipėda. And yes, it would create some tension in our energy system, but it is possible. One exemption is electricity. We still are connected with so-called BRELL system of former Soviet Union, and this connection does not allow to switch to the different systems because we need synchronization. First of all, we have to implement synchronization project, but will be completed only in 2025. Now we try to speed up this process in order to disconnect faster, and we will see what happens.
So you're saying that you are prepared to cut off your gas and oil supplies from Russia?
Yes, we are ready. It would create some problems, but those problems wouldn't have very big macroeconomic impact.
Why haven't you cut it off yet?
It is a very complicated project. We see the possibilities to speed up. But those possibilities depend not only on Lithuania's decision, but also our partners. Latvia and Estonia decided to participate and to trying to speed up this process too. Poland and three Baltic countries are ready to synchronize with continental Europe as soon as possible.
You mentioned the Independence LNG terminal. Your country has managed to reduce its dependence on Russia for its natural gas supplies in just 5 years. Do you think what Lithuania has done could act as a sort of blueprint for what other countries could do?
I think our experience could be very interesting for other countries, especially having in mind this LNG terminal. But, you know, from very beginning, Lithuania didn't have any illusions regarding Russia. We treated Russia as a long-term threat. It was not the case among our partners. Some of them, we are talking, discussing the possibility to engage with Russia. Engage not only in energy field, but also fight against terrorism, also climate change. And we were opposing this idea because we didn't believe that the intentions of Russia are positive. And now we see that probably this reliance on Russian energy resources is a Russian policy just to make us more exposed to Russian energy resources. And it is not so easy to overcome and to implement those necessary measures to reduce our dependence. And now I see that my partners and my colleagues in European Union open their eyes, woke up and see Russia as it is. And I hope that it will encourage and probably speed up those decisions which are critically needed for Europe as a whole.
Humanitarian support Lithuania is providing those fleeing Ukraine. Can you just talk about that a little bit? I think the government said that it was prepared to accept 10,000 or so people.
The figure is already above this figure of 10,000. According to my knowledge, about 15,000 now. This number is growing every day. And probably we are ready to provide shelter, to provide necessary conditions to live for more people, but we have to adjust our capabilities.
In what ways are you supporting those coming to Lithuania?
Providing social benefits, food, shelter, and also the possibilities to find a job. Lithuania is a fast-growing country, so we need additional labor force and additional people in order to make our economic progress even faster.
Is there a time limit for how long those people can stay?
There is a regulation, as far as I know, on European Union level, yes. But as always, there will be possibilities to prolong this stay in case of emergency.
Do you think the EU as a whole is doing enough to help those fleeing war?
Yes, I think we did a lot in the past, in recent weeks, and I see a big shift in the mentality, in the thinking of many countries in Europe. And now we see that this delivery of military equipment from Germany to Ukraine, it was absolutely impossible to imagine, let's say, 3 weeks ago. But now this is the case. And probably this was one of the miscalculations of Vladimir Putin, that he will divide us. It was not the case. Reaction was fast, reaction was strong, and unity was preserved.
Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky has said that if his country falls to Russian forces, Baltic nations, including Lithuania, is next. Do you agree?
Unfortunately, this is true. Since Putin declared that the largest tragedy of 20th century was the collapse of Soviet Union, he had in mind the Baltic countries too, because the Baltic countries were a consistent part of Soviet Union too. So this is a threat. We never had the illusions that we will be forgotten. And we did a lot in order to increase defense spending, in order to invest more into military equipment, and we intend to increase defense spending in the future.
Do you feel like NATO could leave you behind? Because, of course, you are within the alliance, and NATO has said that essentially if one Russian foot steps foot in a NATO country, there would be a NATO response. Are you concerned that there wouldn't be, that there's not enough protection?
I really believe in the ability of NATO to work effectively as a collective defense organization. I truly believe in Article 5. We heard many declarations recently from the President Joe Biden, from German Chancellor Olaf Scholz, from other leaders, that Article 5 is iron strong. This is good. But I see also this solidarity in action, additional deployment, additional military capabilities on the ground. And this is probably the best proof for me that NATO as an organization is working, is effective, and will serve as collective defense and deterrence factor. Now I see huge enthusiasm among our people to support Ukraine, to collect money, to provide humanitarian aid, to receive refugees in own flats and houses. So I think this is very positive signal how sensible and how empathic are our people to what is happening in Ukraine, because they understand very well Ukraine is in the forefront of the fight for freedom.
We've seen reports over the weekend that chemical weapons are being used by Russian forces against Ukrainian forces. Is there a point at which the human suffering becomes too much, do you think, for NATO not to respond?
Probably the critical ceiling or critical line was already reached. What we did in the past is not sufficient, not enough in order to stop Putin. And I think we will do more. Additional military support to Ukraine, additional sanctions on Russia, and additional measures to strengthen eastern flank of NATO.
President Noseda, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much for the invitation.